Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
Hello, this is Anne Revell-Petcher, your host for a special episode today of Wireless Connections, brought to you by the Wireless Research Center of North Carolina and my two co-hosts. That would be Dr. Jerry Hayes. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, Anne.
Good to have you back in the studio again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Larry Stefan.
Hi, Anne. How are you?
I'm ever so good. We're here today to talk about innovation and entrepreneurship, and you guys know a little something about that. We also are welcoming to the studio two additional guests to talk about that. We have Derek Miner from the City of Raleigh, the Innovation and Entrepreneurship Manager there. Hello, Derek.
Good morning, Ann.
Good thing you're finally on the radio here.
Yeah.
Good to have you up here.
I'm glad to be here.
And Jason Wyden, who's with HQ Raleigh.
Hi, Ann.
Hello, Jason.
I'm here.
You are here. Yay. Okay, we're here to learn a little bit more about HQ Raleigh and what's going on there. What? First of all, tell everybody who doesn't know what HQ Raleigh is.
So HQ Raleigh is a shared workspace for entrepreneurs and startup companies. So we've got 15,000 square feet of space located in the Warehouse District in downtown Raleigh.
Oh, cool.
We house 82 companies and over 150 people.
Holy smoke. Wait a minute. When did you guys start?
So we were just talking about that in the drive up here. We started in October of 2012.
And you have how many companies?
82 companies that are member companies.
That is fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So how did this come to be?
So it was inspired by the Innovate Raleigh conference back in 2012. And basically that was a group of thought leaders within Raleigh that were looking to answer one big question. What does the entrepreneurial and innovation space look like within Raleigh? And so they convened a large group of people. I think there was 300 plus people there. Mm-hmm. And they brainstormed, you know, what it looks like to build an entrepreneurial ecosystem. And one of those things, one of my co-founders, Brooks Bell, she facilitated a conversation around physical workspaces and what that might look like. And so through that, HQ Raleigh was formed. She had some extra space. And within 3 months, we had a waiting list in that space. And we looked towards developing a new space, which we're in today.
So that's in a couple of years. You've gone through all of this.
In a couple of years. And frankly, when we started this thing, it was going to be, I had sold another company. I was going to help facilitate maybe 6 to 15 other companies in a space and have an administrator. Within 45 days, I had over 500 communications to me, email, phone calls to say, hey, how can we participate? I went back to my other co-founders and said, tell you what, I'll take a couple of years and make a go of this thing. I think
that's
this is something
cool.
Much bigger than
that's pretty cool. Obviously demonstrating the need, because you wouldn't have had
Absolutely.
That kind of response if you didn't have
Absolutely.
That kind of need. What kind of people responded to you? What kind of people are in the space now?
All different types of people, successful business people, former entrepreneurs or former startup type of people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I felt like before this Innovate Raleigh group got together, there was a lot of disparate communities throughout the triangle.
Absolutely.
And there'd already been some work on that in other areas of the triangle. And we were just another piece to that puzzle. And I think when you have a physical space, you're convening people and you're bringing people together. So we like to think of ourselves as a communicator, a connector, and a convener of entrepreneurial activity. And I think we were one of the catalysts that help kind of push it forward. And we continue to try to do that.
I know we'll get into this a little bit more later on, but what are you seeing in terms of the difference between what it was like in terms of the entrepreneurial ecosystem here in the Triangle 4 or 5 years ago versus now?
Yeah, I don't think we're trying as hard now. You know, I think it's we're branded as an entrepreneurial space, and you know, as far as Raleigh, you know, it used to be this, you know, maybe seen as this boring government place. And maybe we're struggling a little bit with that, but there's cool things happening, not only in lifestyle type of activities in the downtown mm-hmm. area and mm-hmm. kind of that pedestrian kind of hip feel, but also in the resources that are available to entrepreneurs. So, you know, really it's that infrastructure that's there now where someone like Derek Miner meets with a company that wants to move to town. Those resources exist, and Derek, you know, can connect those people to people like me. They
yeah.
can help house companies, and and then connect them with additional people to help their companies prosper.
You have this thing called Think House. What is that?
So basically, the Think House is it's an intentional living community for postgraduate entrepreneurs. So imagine MTV Real World without all the drama.
Don't tell me there's no drama.
There wasn't a lot this year, which is great. Oh. So basically, we're providing a landing spot or a springboard for young entrepreneurs to take an idea that they develop in college and see that through. We've got the support of NC State and other local universities, and we just graduated our first class.
Cool.
And we've got our new class coming in here in about a month.
So are these primarily from North Carolina universities?
This year, all of the students, all of the Think House fellows except for one were from NC State. This next year, we have all the major universities represented, Duke, UNC, NC State are the big ones. And then I think we have someone from Elon. We've got a couple applicants from Wake Forest.
So is this sort of our next generation of entrepreneurs? Is this where they're being birthed?
I hope so. I think there's been a sea change over the last, you know, maybe 5 to 10 years in the university systems where, you know, entrepreneurship is a hot button issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a lot of interest there, and I think universities are investing a lot of money. So my hypothesis is, you know, these universities expend all this time and energy in helping develop these entrepreneurs, but there's nowhere for them to go afterwards. So if you provide them with the right training, support, mentorship, and you give them that support system,
hopefully
they can succeed. And the co-founders of the Think House are the same as HQ Raleigh, and we all started businesses in our early 20s. And we didn't have anything like this. And I think the younger generations had a lot of these tools available to themselves. And so I think having those tools will help, you know, push their ventures forward.
Who sponsors the house itself?
So it's the fellows themselves pay rent, market rent. They get a lot of value for that rent. Jesse Lipson, who started ShareFile, Brooks Bell, Christopher Gergen, and myself are the co-founders. Brooks and Jess being the main financial contributors to the house, but it's really a self-sustaining model. They pay rent. We get them quite a bit of value, including HQ memberships as part of that.
Well, that's great. Tell me a little bit about one of the 80 companies or two of the 80 companies that you have right now at HQ.
Yeah. Ground Floor being one of the companies. Brian's a real success story within the Triangle. He came to us having left a corporation where he was an entrepreneur and started an idea with Republic Wireless.
Oh, good.
And then from there, he basically incubated this idea of democratizing real estate investment within our space. And shortly thereafter, he's basically come up with a crowdfunding platform for real estate investors, which is pretty cool.
He launched that in Atlanta first, is that right?
He did. And that mainly had to do with Georgia's real estate or security laws is the reason why they did that. But they're definitely home-based here. And a perfect example of a company that has utilized the resources of the Triangle and this community, I would say, at large.
Mm-hmm.
So he's members of HQ Raleigh. He's part of the Underground. He's involved with Groundwork Labs and many of the resources that exist here. All of these different pieces of the puzzle that have helped their company to be successful. So he's one of those people I look to say he took advantage of it all.
Yeah.
And I think it also demonstrates the power of collaboration. And one of the reasons why we're here today at with the Wireless Research Center guys.
Cool. What kind of things are you seeing in terms of trends in entrepreneurship, in terms of kinds of products, kinds of companies that are being developed at HQ?
In my opinion, we're shifting away from some of the apps and social media type of startups. I like the fact that we're seeing more products.
Excellent.
Right? We're building things.
Yeah.
We're coming into a time of these micro manufacturing. We've got something in our space called DX Lab, which is a design thinking incubator.
Oh,
right?
Cool.
So you're taking a product and you're designing it from its infancy using more of a kind of engineering based methodology and doing that. That's important. You know,
that is very important.
We need to build stuff. There needs to be a product.
Right.
Now, there are still obviously software and software and technology, those things are important and very prevalent as well. But, you know, I think, you know, when this hot button kind of word of entrepreneurship started, you know, everybody and their dog had an application that they were going to develop.
Right.
And I still think there's some value in those things if they're unique, but we're seeing fewer of those companies and more product-driven, software-driven type of companies.
Cool. So how do you guys, you're really very Raleigh-centric. HQ Raleigh is really about the entrepreneur in Raleigh, but you play with other organizations throughout the region. Is that right?
Absolutely. Well, our vision is to help make the region one of the top five regions for entrepreneurship in the country.
Great.
And that is our vision. And if you ask many of the organizations in the community, they aspire to do the same thing. Obviously, our mission is more Raleigh centered. However, on a daily basis, I'm working with people throughout the region.
Sure.
To help bolster, you know, this area. So we're much more than just a physical space in Raleigh.
Right.
I spend 80% of my time communicating, collaborating, and connecting people.
Absolutely.
Throughout the region. And
yeah.
So I don't know, I moved here not too long ago, and I moved to be a part of this region.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily move to be in Raleigh. And sometimes I think it's kind of silly. I mean, we're only 25 minutes away from, you know,
the Wireless Research Center in
exactly.
Wake Forest. Exactly.
And, you know, and I've lived in LA and Denver and other cities.
You can't cross the street in 25 minutes.
That's just me going home.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So, you know, I don't necessarily understand the siloed type of city mentality. And I think we're moving away from that. And again, I come back to this idea of collaboration and working with groups like the Wireless Research Center. And that's how you do that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just down the street,
exactly.
Why not work together? And there's already been some close collaborations there.
Good. We're going to come back and have a little bit more conversation with you in a minute about the collaborative feel for the region. But I want to talk to Derek a little bit because, well, he's kind of responsible to the city, right?
True.
Responsible to the city of Raleigh to help make Raleigh part of the top five, and Raleigh in the region.
Correct.
You know, I'm sure that you don't think in terms of a silo either.
Yeah, I definitely do not think in a vacuum. You know, I know that anything positive or negative that happens, you know, in Raleigh definitely, you know, impacts, you know, the entire region.
Absolutely.
You know, we obviously, you know, for me being employed by the city, have to, you know, focus purely on companies in Raleigh. But I don't do that in a vacuum. So I'm,
sure.
I'm very close with, you know, my other, you know, counterparts throughout the region.
Yeah.
It's just trying to figure out how can we make this, you know, a great place to be. And obviously my, you know, my piece of it is the city of Raleigh.
Right. So I think it was about 3 years ago when I first met you. Was that when you first started this position?
Actually, that was when I was at the Downtown Raleigh Alliance.
Ah.
So this position that I'm in now has only existed for about a year and a half. And at that time, when I was at the Downtown Raleigh Alliance, I was, you know, it was a new position, and I was essentially doing similar work, but only for the downtown market. So recruitment and retention of companies, really trying to understand, you know, who we have, you know, in the downtown market. You know, millennials and folks even younger than that are, you know, definitely moving, you know, towards kind of, you know, city centers, whether that's, you
yeah,
know,
absolutely.
Bigger cities or even, you know, in smaller, you know, towns. They just like that, you know, the livability kind of, you know, work, live,
walkability.
Work, play. Exactly.
Yep, exactly.
When I was, it was at that time, the city started to take notice and say, hey, it's great what's happening, in downtown, but it's only impacting 1.2 square miles of 144 square miles of real estate. So, how can we create a position that's going to be, you know, impactful for the entire community? Because obviously, you know, a city like Raleigh, 144 square miles is pretty spread out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could take you know, 45 minutes to go from one corner of Raleigh, you know, to the other. And there's a lot of companies and a lot of resources, you know, spread throughout the city. So how can, you know, this position and then the city as a whole just, you know, work together to densify, you know, if you
yeah.
will. So densify not only physically, but also, you know, virtually, if
yeah.
you will, just kind of creating these connections, building out this network so that when companies come into the city, they come into the region, they know the people that they need to talk with, you know, and within just a few connections, they can essentially get completely immersed within the community.
So how'd you convince the city to actually start a position for innovation and entrepreneurship specifically.
So I didn't convince them specifically.
I was
going to
give you all the credit.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all about hustle.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I think a lot of it actually had to do with the entrepreneurs themselves coming to, you know, city council and the leadership within the city to say, you know, hey, there's a lot going on. There is a robust startup community here. But it's all very disconnected from one another. Not even, you know, Raleigh from the other municipalities, but even the various submarkets within Raleigh.
Sure.
You know, so you have downtown, midtown, the Crabtree area, North Raleigh, Briar Creek. I mean, you have folks spread throughout the region. So they say we really need kind of a go-to person. We don't necessarily need another program. You know, there's a lot of private sector programs that are out there. So we don't need more of a program, but, you know, we need more of a physical person that has built a network over time that is already doing the work within the community to essentially just come in and leverage that network to the benefit of the companies that are here. Because that's what I was doing at the Downtown Raleigh Alliance. I would meet companies that were in the same building together that
didn't know one another. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's kind of just making those connections, say, hey, you guys should grab a cup of coffee or a beer and just learn kind of peer-to-peer how you can work together and
that
collaborate.
That kind of sounds like fun.
It's a lot of fun.
So what's a day in the life like?
So a day in the life, it is definitely different, you know, every day. Probably 80% of my time is meetings, whether they are, you know, I could have anywhere from 4 to 5 kind of scheduled meetings mm-hmm. per day, up to an additional 10 to 15 kind of impromptu meetings, if you will. So, you know, running into them, you know, at the water cooler, and just catching up on their business. You know, the biggest thing that I'm trying to do is trying to understand where these companies are now, where do they want to be, and then how can we help them to get there? Mm-hmm. And then I essentially, you know, go back and leverage my network, you know, to benefit them, you know, in that regard. But I spend, you know, I'd say again, 80% of my time is if not more is outside of the office.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've always, you know, I always say is I'm probably not very likely to run into any entrepreneurs on the 7th floor of the government building. So where can I spend time to engage, you know, these different cohorts? I spend quite a bit of time at HQ Raleigh. I spend time in American Underground at Raleigh. The technology incubator on Centennial Campus, and really anywhere and everywhere that these companies are. I'll go out to, you know, various, you know, client offices that are throughout the city and just trying to engage them where they are and just build the community.
What are you seeing in terms of trends for entrepreneurs? Are we still in the software land that we were in for the last 3 years?
No, I mean, we're definitely still heavy in software and technology. I think, you know, just with the university, you know, system that's here, I think you'll continue to see that spin outs from larger companies like Red Hat, you know, Citrix and others.
That's right.
I think you'll continue to see that. But one of the neatest things that I'm seeing, and Jason mentioned this as well, is more product based companies, not even hardware on kind of the technology side. And on devices, but even emerging markets in the consumer products world. So mm-hmm. food and beverage entrepreneurs. I mean, we have, you know, a very robust and growing brewery network here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just within the city, there's 10 operating breweries and 4 more that are in the pipeline ready to open in the next 6 months. And then when you look at the triangle as a whole, I mean, there's over 30, right? So you begin to look at kind of this growing scene. You have people that are, you know, packaging up, you know, goods and services, you know, whether it's breads or tomato sauces and these sorts of things, and they're selling them within, you know, large retail networks like Whole Foods. Clothing and apparel has actually been fairly growing sector.
We have a connection, you know, we have a studio in Wilmington as well, and we have a great connection that's opening a Raleigh's the Edge of Verge store,
that's right.
And they're going to have a really nice entrepreneurial environment there, so other makers can come and gather in kind of an innovation space there too. So.
That's great. So I mean, that's the perfect example of, you know, kind of these, you know, non-traditional, you know, markets, at least for this area, if you will, coming about and finding success, right? So you have, you know, Raleigh Denim, you have Feel Goods, and you have others that are creating these products and they're doing very well here. So that's kind of that, you know, non-tech entrepreneur that, you know, that we are beginning to focus on a lot more. Funding, you know, especially at the early stage, seems to be, you know, more difficult for those folks, because I think a lot of the success stories that are here are from the software, the technology realm, so they're much more likely to invest in that. But what we're beginning to see is entrepreneurs that have gained and made wealth through other, you know, non-traditional or other non-tech industries mm-hmm. that are beginning to invest in some of these companies, which is great to see.
It is. So you mentioned funding. Is that one of the biggest challenges we're facing here?
I'd say, yeah. I'd say it's a challenge. You know, I think especially at the Series A mm-hmm. level, which is kind of, you know, that next step from your seed round. Most of the entrepreneurs that I know that are growing companies, they're able to find capital, but sure. They have to go to other markets to do so. I think we still have a decent Series B investment, you know, kind of world here with yeah. some other funds that have, you know, that have been raised, you know, in recent, really in the last month or two. You've had some funds that have you know, raised capital, but they are still looking at, you know, a little bit later stage. Mm-hmm. So it's that Series A that seems to be sort of an issue. And there's, I mean, on the angel side, which is that seed stage, we're seeing a fairly good network of local angels that are funding companies that should be funded. Because, you know, we all know, I mean, some companies shouldn't receive capital. You know, maybe their idea needs to be tweaked. You know, or, you know, maybe they just don't have the right team put together. Maybe the market just isn't where it needs to be for them to receive that. So, you know, you'll still get that, but it's a lot better than it was, you know, even 3 years ago.
What else do we need to do to help the entrepreneurial spirit in the community?
So, just work together. You know, that's one of my big things. I mean, I've mentioned, you know, having good relationships with counterparts in these other markets. You know, I think it's a lot better than it was even 3 or 4 years ago. I think it was, you know, actually somewhat toxic 3 or 4 years ago mm-hmm. between the communities, and it's gotten a lot better. When you have, you know, regional brands like American Underground, you know, having two locations in Durham and then opening a location in Raleigh, I think that's a big sign of, right. Hey, we're all collaborating, we're all working together. You know, Jason mentioned HQ, you know, having, you know, tentacles or reaches out into the community, like the Wireless Research Center here, and solidifying, you know, relationships with groups throughout the area. I think it's really important, because one thing is, a lot of times it's, you know, Raleigh and Durham, you know, pitted against one another, but, you know, there's 14 or 15 other municipalities that all have their own kind of, you know, characteristics, and you know, positives to them that, you know, that are a draw for people, you know, in the community. So I think we definitely cannot forget about that as well.
Yeah. You know, as we sort of expand this conversation a little bit, Larry and Jerry, do you want to comment a little bit about your center here and about how the commercialization center is growing, the kinds of companies that are opting to take advantage of the expertise that you bring to the marketplace?
Right. So I came on board about a year ago, April 2013, and one of the visions that Jerry had was creating an incubator environment here that could be complementary to what we're doing at the Wireless Center. And we named it the Commercialization Center, and it really got its momentum end of last year, November timeframe or so. And now we're up to 10 companies. We expect our 11th company here shortly.
Congratulations. And not bad for a year, huh?
Yeah, not bad for a year. And we call it the commercial, not quite 82 like Jason, so I'm a little bit shy about the number, but that's okay. But we call it the Commercialization Center because one of the roles we want to play, which I think is also part of the ecosystem, is that helping companies actually commercialize. It's one thing to have a concept and a theory, but actually create an operating company that is successful, that can pay its bills and has receivables and actually is, you know, going on an ongoing basis and doesn't necessarily need any funding per se. Funding is always great because that typically accelerates growth, but, you know, the basic blocking and tackling goes on in commercialization is also part of the ecosystem. And one of the things we should talk about in a little more depth here, but we like to play that role. So of the 10 companies here, 7 are self-sustaining. And
that's great.
8 is funded through grants and a very cool little company here. And we see this continue to grow and so forth. And so that's, I think, the unique conversation here. But one of my observations listening to Derek and Jason talk was that the word entrepreneur, or what is an entrepreneur? And I see that differently because I'm the dinosaur in the room here, is that over generations, people have to reinvent themselves. And since most people don't see that they're going to put on a white shirt and a tie and go to work for 40 years at a single company, mm-hmm. they know they're going to have to learn multiple skill sets. So maybe these guys, 82 companies, don't become GM or large companies, But the benefit that these environments are creating in terms of creating skills for the people involved in starting companies have a huge impact to making this community at large a very competitive community long term.
Yeah.
So you're really nurturing that gray matter and teaching people to think outside the box without an overused expression, but understand how to survive and think on their own and have that mechanics of good product development, even company development. So I think that's an interesting observation there, because again, nobody's going to put on a white shirt and a blue tie and work at a company anymore.
Well, they might, but
nobody's probably a hard statement. But the reality is, most of us don't see that way,
right?
And most of us recognize that we need skill sets beyond that. We're not going to go up the functional ladder of a company,
right?
Some of us will, but by definition, the entrepreneur is a person who creates their own rungs. They learn how to create their own rungs, and they build that ladder of their own success, and they control their own destiny.
So we have a lot of different kinds of support groups here seated at the table. When you think about the commercialization center at the Wireless Research Center, is there something about the WRC that makes this a unique place for a certain kind of company?
What's really unique about the center, being nonprofit and economic development is our mission, is we really foster collaboration. You know, we kind of make collaboration contagious, and you know, combining that with entrepreneurship, you know, there's this motivation. It's a fun factor that seems to work on how everyone can work together to elevate us all.
Yeah. Most of the people who do come to the Collaboration Center, I guess we have to rename it, maybe. That they are working on things that are in the wireless domain, however.
Wireless or technology. We have a software company as well. So it's a pretty broad distribution of companies across multiple technologies. Wireless is kind of a glue for most of them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us have experience in the commercial sector for large, high-volume manufacturing of different products.
Yeah. One of the glues that separates us from a lot of the projects out there is that we are very focused on intellectual property. So we have several PhDs on staff here. Jerry alone has 76 patents now.
Oh, he's got another one he's developing. I can see it in his head right now.
We probably have a half a dozen to a dozen in float that eventually will become patents. And we believe that is also a core value proposition to startups that actually add intellectual property to their portfolio, because that helps fund the company. Right. It also helps them defend when the competition gets strong.
But as a nonprofit, you help them keep their own intellectual
property.
Right.
That's right. We don't maintain any IP with ourselves.
Right. So, we think that's the more intellectual property you bring into a company or into a region, I think potentially has the ability to grow significantly. Yeah.
How are you guys seeing the collaboration? Yeah. Among the different centers. Obviously, you know, you go to Durham, there's four or five different places you can go if you're an entrepreneur to get help. If you come to Raleigh, there's four or five different places you go. And here in Wake Forest, you've got certainly here and probably a few other places you can go. How are they? What is the manifestation of the collaboration?
I think a lot of it's personal relationships. You know, I mean, breaking bread with someone goes a long way in, you know, developing relationships long term. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, everyone sitting at this table, I mean, we have a personal relationship and a business relationship, and, you know, I think it started with going to lunch. I think that there's some more organized type of meetups as well, but I think a lot of it right now, as I said, is fueled by just keeping those lines of communication open.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, you know, so you have these entities like HQ and Underground, but there's people behind, you know, those entities that are making decisions and that are communicating on behalf. So it's just having those, you know, that open dialogue and those open relationships that you can just pick up the phone and, you know, give a call and say, hey, we're working on something. Would you like to collaborate? And it's a really neat dynamic.
You know, I think this is North Carolina is pretty unique. I mean, the whole state really is unique in its approach to a lot of different kinds of organizations spread out across a really broad state. I've lived in Washington State and, you know, done a lot of work in California and Maryland, and no place do we have Asheville to Wilmington, and we have innovation centers spread across them, and everyone's starting to work together, and it's making for a healthier environment everywhere. Do you feel that?
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
You know, and I've been trying to figure out what it is about this community that makes people so willing to do that. I mean, there's quite a few people that come and meet from me on either coast and say that that type of collaboration just is not happening. When my wife and I moved here, we were looking at Denver and Austin and Silicon Valley and other places to move. We felt like here we could plug in right away and be a part of the ecosystem immediately. I don't know if it's Southern hospitality or what it is,
there's,
but
there's a level there's of humility here too. Okay.
Yeah, that might be it.
That's true.
Well, anyway, this has been a really great conversation. Any last words of wisdom before we wrap up for the show today?
You know, I just say I'm excited for the future of what we have here. You know, I mean, just the momentum that is you know, built up and is continuing to build even over the last 24 to 36 months, and even in the last 6 months, it's even grown substantially from there. Just to see what kind of the future will hold. I mean, with this, you know, big announcement, yeah, I guess it would, you know, has not that recently, maybe about 4 months ago, with NC State, you know, getting that big public-private grant for, you know, the next gen, you know, power electronics, you know, basically the next generation of semiconductors that they'll be developing, you know, there. That'll be really exciting to see what plays out there kind of long-term. Region, yeah. I just, you know, Silicon Valley is obviously was founded, you know, on the silicon semiconductor. So what does the next generation of semiconductors look like? And is that something that's going to, you know, spawn obviously new products, but new industries as well? Right. I'll be interested to see what happens in that regard.
Tell us how people get in contact with you if they have questions for you.
Twitter is a good one. At Derek Minor, DerrickMinor, is always a good way, but then also via email. It's Derrick, DerrickDerrick dot MINOR at RaleighNC.gov.
Great. Did you have any closing words for us, Jason?
No, I'm privileged to be here. And like Derek, I'm excited about the future. And yeah, that's it.
Tell us how people get in touch with you with questions on HQ Raleigh.
At Jay Wyden. And
Jason Wyden, actually. Jason Wyden, at Jason Wyden.
Okay, thank you, Derek.
Guess who tweets who more often? Some people just log in and tweet.
He also corrected my Twitter handle a couple weeks ago. And Jay Wyden, Wyden, at hqraleigh.com.
Excellent. And if you want to get in touch with Wireless Research Center,
you can reach us at WRC_NC. That's our Twitter handle. But I'm going to use my dinosaur positioning here, and that is that I see a change in the opportunity. And every so often you see big shifts in opportunities, you know, whether it was the birth of the silicon or the IC, the birth of the Internet. And then maybe the next generation is this whole conversation of Internet of Things. And how well positioned is Raleigh because of all the entrepreneurship programs here? And because of the technical talent that we have here, it's a strong RF communication neck of the woods. We have enormous amount of resources, and Wireless Center was built because of that. But you combine that with the entrepreneurship programs in place and the community in place, you know, I see some significant companies coming out of here, and it won't be just based on an app. It will be based on actually some real service that is going to be delivered via the Internet. And how that morphs into the next wave of large companies is exciting.
Great.
I think the timing is very, very exciting.
How about closing words from you, Jerry?
I just keep the enthusiasm growing, you know, with the entrepreneurship and the center. It's just amazing to see where things have come so far. And in 2 or 3 years, it'll be another amazing thing to look back on.
Sure will be. Well, this has been a great show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next time, this is Anne Ravel-Petcher signing off for Wireless Connections on Business Radio X.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks,
Sam.